Hilton, he zigs, he zags, he looks at the goal, and he delivers a masterclass in long distance goal kicking.
Are you ready for this? Strap yourselves in.
On the left footer, he's on the wrong side, he has a shot, Lewis, he's kicked it.
This is for the love of the game.
He's on the runway to put O'Carey in front, and he does!
Can he kick a captain's goal to seal the game? It's going!
He's
kicked
it!
Gone.
He's kicked it!
Tim Dixon's kicked an absolute ball bursting bomb!
The official podcast of the Victorian Amateur Football Association.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of For the Love of the Game, the official podcast of the Amos. All thanks to Mequacare, being a proud partner of the Amos for the last few years and been around since 1959, mequacare.org.au. Joe Pignataro is my name. Hoping everyone had a great Easter weekend, but we're back. Vaffa Footy returns this week for round three, and there's only one man I want to speak to ahead of round three. It is Grumpy Brian Waldron. Hello, GB. How are you going?
Joey, a couple of good things happened on the weekend. Saints won and the Pies lost, so what more could you ask for?
Pies shocking lost. Way to start Easter by losing to Brisbane.
Now, it's very important we get something out on the table, Joey.
What have you got for us? Thing.
Well, I've got a little spy out in the northern suburbs that comes from St Bernard's who happened to send me through a little photo early one morning. It woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning, on Monday morning, and there's a photo of you with your arm around a brunette enjoying a what looked like a little pinot at some bar. And somebody told me that Joe has been up to some extracurricular activity. Now, we need this in the podcast because, as many of our listeners would know, that Nikki, last year's man that no longer travels into our podcast for good reason, Mount Albert Park, we did our best to get you on Hinge.
Yes.
We did our best, and I'm not sure we had any luck until I was absolutely tears of joy down my face when I saw the photo, and we should share that with those that are interested. We'll make sure we do somewhere, somehow. But then
this is a stitch up. Why?
I was flattened.
What's happened?
Then you told me she lives about 3 hours away. So
far too far away.
It doesn't look like it's a long-term relationship, but probably enough details about what occurred on that occasion. But I'm sure she's a lovely lady who probably has learned the errors of her ways very quickly.
Very quickly, shut it down after 1 weekend. Long way to travel.
So would you like to share anything? Anything you want to tell us? Anything elaborate? Anything you need to know about?
No, it was Easter weekend and a few people just wanted to get out and about and they wanted to speak to the voice and face of the Amos in 2022, which is myself. And I signed a few autographs out there.
What was her name? We know her name. We've got a name. Where were we? What sort of bar? What bar were we at?
We're at Republica, Brian, just up from the St Kilda Sea Baths there.
I'm too old to go out, so I don't know where that is. But well, I'm sure you had a lovely time. And
you'd know St Kilda very well, being a Saints man.
I do know the Sea Baths down there. So anyway, look, Joe, the report is that, unfortunately, the low level of extracurricular activity has not led to anything even semi-permanent in your life.
No,
is that correct?
Correct. That's correct. No, I shut it down. It's too far to travel. It's hard enough.
I shut it down, Brian.
Yeah.
Can we just get this clarified?
Yep.
You shut it down.
I shut it down. Yep.
I'd like to track the girls down. I'd like someone to please tell me her name. I'd like to interview her on this podcast next week to see if that is the truth. Someone will tell me because it is going up on every social media app available this afternoon for her to be identified.
This has got a bit of Luke Beveridge, Tom Morris about round one. There's a leak out in the northern suburbs, Brian. There's a leak. And we're at St Bernard's this week. I'm going to find out who that leak is. It could turn ugly very quickly.
It's not far. it's not hard to tell. I can tell you who he is if you want to know.
Just run with his initials for us, and I'm sure we'll find out very quickly. Hey,
let's just say he's won the crown in the past out there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I know who that is. No worries at all. Hey, Nick Armistead, our man, returns to the field this week, by the way, round three for Albert Park. They've had a couple of weeks off with a bye and Easter. Anyone going to clip him this week, Brian?
Well, no, I think what we do is we raise the ante. So it was 50 first week, up to 100. $100 for his scalp. $100 for legitimate whack. I want a photo. It can't be a bloody because he wears that silly helmet. I want a broken nose. I want some sort of damage done to the boy that means he's actually been in some form of physical contact because I don't believe he has been. I'm not advocating violence, but where necessary, some people just need a little clip and he needs one. So $100 in play. Who are they playing?
Well, they're playing Box Hill North at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Where at?
Alstonwick Park.
Might just trot down there and see if I can't stir something up.
I think we're
going
to head down to HQ.
Might strut down there and stir up a bit of trouble.
$100.
Come out of the huddle and see what's going on. $100 for anyone. And I'll pay. There's no problem at all.
Well I'll split it with you. I'll put 50 in.
50 each. That's it. So, and we'll just continue to raise the bar until somebody does what needs to be done and clips that bloke well and truly across the bonds.
Let's hope it doesn't.
Decent damage.
Let's hope it doesn't get to round 18. Otherwise, we could be in for a big bank balance if no one gets there before then. Some big news coming out of your footy club, and I know we have a lot of fun with De La Salle, but
yes.
In the last 24 hours, Brian, Dave Madigan has decided to step away from the club as the senior coach, effective immediately due to some changes in his personal circumstances.
Yep.
Before I get your take on Dave, we should mention he has been the senior coach 7 years, 2007 to 2010, and then came back at the start of 2020, I think, just before COVID wiped out that season. He is really well known around your footy club. And I don't know whether this is a great surprise, Brian, or whether you knew yourself that he was looking for other opportunities, and he's been granted some great stuff in his own personal life that's forced him to step away.
Well, I knew there was going to be a change in his life, and that is he's taken a very important and key role at the Victorian Institute of Sport. And I know that because I was a referee for the role for him.
Fantastic.
Which shows you something of my thoughts on him. I think he's a terrific person. Dave's been officially, I think you'll find out, longest serving coach ever. He took us to grand finals. Even last year when he was coaching, when the season turned upside down, he had us well placed in the four. But look, I think it's a good thing for a couple of reasons. One is he's got this role that's really difficult. And once you make that decision and the decision's made mutually with the club that it's just not going to work. I mean, you missed round one, for example, when he was at the Australian Sports Championships, Athletics Championships. There's going to be some other things he's got to do. But also it gives a young guy that we have great, when I say we as a club, I'm not involved. I'm on the sidelines like everyone now, just watching and trying to help our school, if anything, be better. But we all know and have watched Nick Highland come through, who coached our 19s with great success when I was president. He's a very astute young man. He's coached seniors, reserves, reserves and under-19s. He stepped up as a line coach for the last couple of years, and he gets his opportunities. Well known. There's a little bit of Dave Madigan about him in that. When Dave took over as a senior coach, he came through coaching the 19s as well. So Nick gets his opportunity, and we're in as good a hands as anyone, I think, with Nick, and he gets his chance. Shane Watson, who's our director of coach, will step up and help, and we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully having played two very good sides in the first 2 weeks. Nick now gets a good run at it, and he's well supported by his people, and we look forward to what we can do. So these things happen. As much as it's disappointing for Dave and for the club in general, I think it's a good thing for Nick, and we look forward with great optimism that we'll have a successful year. Whatever that means, we'll wait and see.
So Dave's first 4 years as coach, you were in A grade between 2007 and 2010, and then again coming back. Did he just come back given that Schwabe was out at the end of 2019 and someone had to fill the role? Did he know what he was coming back into?
No, and that's what I think is important that people respect with Dave, is that he came back in as our senior assistant, and then Peter Schwabe left and went back to collegiates. So we turned to him then and said, mate, we need someone to step up. Can you do it? And he did. And he did it not reluctantly, but it wasn't what he came back to do. He really just wanted somewhere to watch footy. So he's always got somewhere to watch footy at De La.
Yep.
And hopefully he has the time now to do it. But he's also got family, so he'll, you know, it's a tough cape of this coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not aligned, I mean, I was talking to Paul Sadley today, and it's difficult. I mean, there's a lot of pressures on, depending at the club you're at. There's a lot of pressures at home, potentially, when, you know, particularly things happen. So it's a matter of getting it right, and Dave's career comes first. First and foremost, he's in high performance, and he's done a great job getting that role at the VIS, and we wish him all the best.
So he did flag in the press release that he wasn't going to be committing to next year regardless. So the club has obviously had to...
He had already said that, yes. He had agreed, and he told me this the other day, that he'd already informed Bill Tyson and our president, Matt O'Callaghan, over the summer that this would be his last year no matter what. So he's very comfortable. I wasn't there last night, of course, but he's very comfortable. I did message him and also Nick Holland, and I think it's going to be as smooth a transition as possible. So we've got great optimism about what the year will bring, and a fresh voice is good. It's always healthy.
Absolutely. And you take on Bo Morris at Banksia Reserve in Nick's first outing. Just last one on Dave. You mentioned 7 years, which is an equal club record according to the statement. What legacy does he leave at the footy club? It's a long time, 7 years, to be in the senior coaching role in a club that gets a little bit of pressure every now and then, and you have been up in A grade for a very long time. What legacy does he leave at De La?
No, I think Dave, I don't know if he'll ever coach again. If he does, he'll go well, because he actually left De La, was involved with Box Hill Hawks, was also coach at Knox and took Knox to a flag.
Yep.
So he would love to think his legacy was to win a flag with De La, which we lost one by 3 points in A grade in one of those famous grand finals against Old Zabs that they'll play over and over again every time we go to the bloody club rooms, and we can't play it ever. So, I just think, I mean, amateur footy clubs should be places when people come through the door, they leave the place better for being involved. And hopefully Dave Madigan is better for being involved over the journey. And hopefully the people that he's touched and worked with over the time feel the same. I know some really good people involved with our club, such as Mark Parker and Tony Morton in the old days who worked with him, Bill Tyson, have great admiration for Dave Madigan as a person. And, you know, I said to him on Sunday, I said, what do you think? He said, well, my joke's probably got a bit old, and they probably did. You know, it's a generational thing a bit too. That's okay. So I think he leaves us in great stead, having given his all. And if we can rebound back over the next few years, he certainly played a part in it, as has everyone that's been around the place. But that's what footy's about. As I used to say when I was president, Joey.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about the umpires, and I'm going to talk about them in a minute.
Yes.
Let's remember, you know, it's only amateur footy.
Yes. And they're doing their best. You say that every week.
I mean it.
Absolutely.
That's why when Dave sort of rang me on Saturday and said, I'm out, I said, well, that's okay. It's all right. That's what it is. I'm out too.
Yes.
We'll hopefully leave the place better for our involvement. I'm sure Dave has.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talk about jokes. There is a social media post, I think it was during 2020, the lockdowns, where Dave decided to wander down the club rooms and do his own little edits to keep himself busy and coach your change rooms with nothing in it.
He's a quirky little bloke. There's no doubt about that.
It's still up on the dealer Instagram page. Now, over the weekend, Brian, in the AFL, plenty of uproar around the new umpire dissent rule and the crackdown. It seemed to take hold in round one and ease off a little over the last couple of weeks and ramp up again over the weekend, most notably on Easter Monday with Hawthorn and Geelong. There was a call to 3AW breakfast on Wednesday morning from an umpire in the association, Brian Clark, who says the Brad Scott press conference the other night where he claimed every one of those free kicks was there, was adamant the umpires are well within their rights to crack down, will make life even worse for umpires at local level.
What I'm dreading is, you know, you're going to be umpiring this weekend or in a few weeks' time, and players and spectators are going to start demanding they pay a 50-metre penalty because somebody's got their arms out. That's an unfair expectation on us, and that actually leads to more abuse. It doesn't reduce abuse. I think the cure is worse than the disease.
Do you agree with that from Brian, who was on 3AW breakfast on Wednesday morning?
It's a funny one, the umpires. I mean, I was at a game 2 weeks ago at our home ground, and one of my mates was giving the boundary umpire a bit of stick, and we're having a laugh about it. You sort of think back and you go, well, should you be doing that? Well, if they understand it's taken in the right sort of frame and of mind, and we're having a bit of a joke and he's okay with it, then it's okay. It's a bit like, you know, any sort of abuse, if it's taken by the receiver in a manner that is deemed to be offensive, then you owe that person an apology. Yep. The umpiring one seems to have gone to a level, just as an observer, that we've gone from tolerating the umpires to looking for a reason to despise the umpires, because what they're actually doing through this new rule is giving free kicks for what is meant to be people that are showing dissent towards them. But unfortunately, the barrier between dissent at the moment is whether your arms go out or non-dissent, your arms go out.
Yes.
There's no clarity on what it is. And I feel very sorry. I do know, I spoke to a gentleman on the weekend who was friends with an umpire who told me that the umpires don't like this because it's basically made them unable to communicate with the players. Mm. And we don't want that. You know, our community, bringing it back to our level, we just need, as I've always said in footy, Joey, the law of common sense.
Yep.
The law of common sense tells me on Sunday afternoon when Tommy Mitchell's pointing at the scoreboard saying, mate, that's probably not right. That is not 50 metres.
Mm-hmm.
That is just ridiculous. So bringing it back to our level, our umpires need to umpire with the law of common sense. You know I've umpired footy. You know when people are being rude or abusive and you need to check them and warn them. The days of being able to go, mate, pull up or I'll give you another one, obviously can't can't take place now, although some would argue that was the best way to manage it. But right now, the flow-on effect needs to be that we can't have our umpires fearful if they make decisions because there's an instruction from above they need to do it that is going to cause them more stress than it already does. We need people involved. And I think if we, as a community, the amateurs, have an edict that will let the umpires umpire showing the law of common sense, will be fine. But we need to continue to push on the sidelines. As I used to say to all my lunches, Joey, I'd finish every one of my every luncher I spoke as president, yes. I would finish by saying, please remember the umpires are doing their best, and it's just amateur footy. And that's, I continue to say that, and we want to continue to welcome the umpires in. I'm as frustrated as anyone with what they do, but they are doing their best. So let's make sure the law of common sense continues to flow through at our level, and our game will be okay.
So we should mention that the dissent rule is not written in the laws of Australian rules football for local community footy. It's Thank just God a discussion that is potentially filtering down. I heard Matthew James, a former AFL umpire, this morning on radio talking about his concerns at local levels, because at the AFL level, these umpires have all the training, all are well equipped to handle dissent from players. Players are aware of what they can and can't do. At local level, Brian, you know, the pot boils a little bit hotter sometimes, and these local umpires only train one or two nights a week. We're going to chat to Kevin Sagota very soon, who's into his ninth game very shortly, and ask him about how the game has changed over the years. There is real concern, though, from local umpires that if they were to pay one of these or two of these, that the animosity from the crowd could spill over and it get really ugly really quickly.
Well, we don't have issues with drinking during games, so that's one great thing that we don't have to worry about. But no, we need to continue to push that, what I say, that law of common sense with people. And just, if you show dissent towards an umpire that is genuine abuse, you need to be penalised, and people need to accept you can't do that. I mean, I've been at a game at St. Bede's one day when someone in the crowd got penalised for abuse. And I remember at the time thinking, that's ridiculous. Well, it's not.
How many times have we seen former AFL coaches now who've been at local football and said something in passing, and it ends up being the front page story for 2 days?
Respect is the most important thing. So absolutely. We'll see what Kevy says.
Absolutely. He is hanging on the line. Big Kevin Sagota is in his 900th game this week, and he's joining us to tell us all about it in just a moment.
What I love about the VAFA website is how easy it is to navigate.
I can keep up to date with the latest news from my division.
Check out all results and upcoming matches.
Plus, subscribe to the mailing list with the click of a button.
Bookmark VAFA.com.au in your browser today.
Nowadays, people are taking pictures, right? They have their phones now. They're out. Something catches their eye. They want to take it. But then the photo's just sitting there.
I love seeing the photos posted on the Instagram pages.
People use apps.
And you can too.
That's Instagram.
Follow VAFA HQ.
And at VAFA Women's to see how talented our players and photographers are.
That is Instagram.
That's Instagram.
100%.
I get it. I
We're
am
not
hip.
Dummies.
Point taken.
This is the For the Love of the Game podcast, all thanks to Mechwick Care. Brian mentioned just before the break, Kevin Sagota, Kevin Chili Sagota, this weekend brings up 900 games of officiating action. He's out at the Harry Trott Oval for Collegians and Old Scotch. He started way back in 1978 when you were just a boy, Brian, as a 17-year-old boundary rider, a boundary umpire rather. Then he moved into the field where he remained until 1994. Now he stands behind the goals and waves the flags, and he joins us on For the Love of the Game. Hello, Chili Sagota.
Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Brian. How are we all?
We're going great. We're going great. When you started out on this journey in 1978, Kevin, did you envisage you'd be on a podcast 44 years later still going?
Mate, I didn't even think I'd be on a mobile phone.
How did you used to get told which games you were boundary umpiring back in 1978? Telegram.
I've always come down to training on a Tuesday and Thursday, so our appointments came out with a bit of paper on them, and on a Thursday night, and that's where they sent you.
And you just go just about anywhere across the competition. 6 years ago, you brought up 800 games. It's taken, as I said, 6 years and two seasons interrupted to get to 900. Did you ever envisage you'd actually get to this figure, or has it just been something that you love it so much, you just want to keep going?
No, look, I honestly, and I'll be honest with it, I did set myself for 900. I'm just past the 60-odd-year-old mark now, but, yeah, with the COVID and all that, that made it a bit longer than I thought. And I've got three beautiful grandsons around, and I'm missing them, so I'd like to spend more time with them, to be honest.
So, Kev, I must say, having had you umpire me a long time ago, and you remember, I was saying previously in our earlier chat that one of the great highlights was that we could have banter, but in the rooms afterwards, we'd always have a cold drink. You must look back on days, not just, with my club, but also all clubs, with great fond memories and days out at Brens and some of those dirty old change rooms we used to venture into. What are some of your favourite memories going back all that way?
Well, back in, I'm going to say, well, Old Scotch, when Old Scotch were at the Swan Street with Zab, they used to share that room, and they were very confined, but it was always good to have a drink after the game there. But, you know, you'd have your game, but you'd be doing your game, and spectators would be walking across the ground going to the MCG, and that. So that was some of the memories there, and also the long drive out to the Snake Pit. That all changed before it got done up. So many different, and the tiny little box that we get changed in at Old Trinity still.
So did you, like, I got spat on out at St Bernard's one day. On field. give us your rundown. Who were the dirtiest supporters you came across over your time in 900 games?
No, I can't.
No, you can. You can just pick one. No, you, Kevin, come on. You've got to give us one club. Who was it?
No, they're no longer in the amateurs, mate. And we had to use to supply two fieldies and two for the seniors and reserves, and there had to be police at the ground.
Alfington?
Coolaroo Rovers. Coolaroo Rovers.
Oh, the Coolaroo Rovers. We've heard about the Coolaroo Rovers before, Kev. Not a very pleasant side to play against.
Apparently some of their players actually came out of the Pentridge.
Correct.
On day release to play. So it was very nerve-wracking.
And you think you got it hard being spat on at the Snake Pit, Brian. Imagine standing next to someone who's just out of day release from Pentridge.
So, Kevin, you've got fond memories of not just A-grade grand final where you ran the boundary, but also a representative match at the Adelaide Oval. Well, that was nice to get chosen for that, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, we had a great crew there. We went over to South Australia, and yeah, the highlight was obviously umpiring on the Adelaide Oval, and it before it's been done up now. But it was just like walking on carpet, and unfortunately, the Vics went down by about, I think, 8 points. And yeah, but the aftermatch was more pleasant, could I say?
Kevin, we were just talking before you came on about all these changes that the AFL are making around descent towards umpires. Now, I know you're standing in the goals these days, but at one point, as Brian mentioned, you were out in the middle of the field 240 times. You were the field umpire. Did you ever think that we get to a point where descent was the way we're currently officiating it? Even throwing your arms out is such a harsh penalty now?
It's just gone over the top, mate, to be honest. Like, Wally would probably tell you that, you know, if he had a crack at me of making a stuff up of a decision, I could have a crack back at him, and, you know, and then we're all talking about it in the aftermatch. I don't think there's the aftermatch now, because they've gone too professional. They don't go in for a drink, or, you know, they all go in their separate ways, and no one knows. Look, I don't even know who the AFL coach is for the field umpires now.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So, Kevy, more importantly, do you get to choose where you go for the big game this week?
The last couple of years I have, and the last two games, the last three games I've asked to go to certain grounds. This week, I did get to ask for that one.
Where are you off to?
I'm off to the Harry Trot, Collegians v Old Scotch.
To the Protestants.
Just so that...
You've gone to the Protestants.
Yeah, but so Wayne Dyer, because Wayne Dyer, the ex-president at Collegians, he always advised me on goal umpiring, and I thought a good way to go out was with him behind me and giving me a bit more stick.
That's not a bad option. I thought you might want to come out to the Snake Pit for the radio game and do St Bernard's and Old Trinity, seeing as how much you love coming to those change rooms.
Oh, mate, it's, it's too far to go from Frankston, I can tell you. That's where my coach is looking after me now.
We might try to get Brian to come out to the snake pit. Last one before we let you go, Kev, because you know you've got a bit going on. 17 grand finals across your time officiating, 7 in A section, which is just outstanding. Have you got a favourite one of all of those 17, just from a grand final perspective?
It'd have to be the 87 field.
Yep.
I umpired it with a guy called Greg Hardiman, but it was some pretty tough footballers for Phil Kingston, for Ormond, and the Zaz boys. Phil, there was a few of them there that like to throw their weight around a bit. I don't think Andrew Dillon was playing then, but that would probably be the highlight. But I did have a previous highlight was that around about 82, I umpired out at Elsmere Park here with my older brother, Joe. I think it was Q versus Thomastown, something like that out here. So that was a oof, experience and a half.
We can imagine. Oof. Kev, congratulations on getting to 900 games. It is a fantastic effort and one we thought it is well worth highlighting. Good luck out at Harry Trot with Collegians and Old Scotch. We appreciate you giving us some of your time.
Thanks, Joey, and thanks, Wally. Take care, mate, good, for all of you, and enjoy the rest of the season, boys.
Great to chat to Kevin Sagoda. Brian, 900 games. He's been around since you were born, I reckon.
Yeah, pardon me, as you heard me say, but he was one of the great men, Chile. And look, that's what our competition is about, not just our competition, all competitions in community sport are about Kevin Sagoda's of the world. And he's left a lasting legacy, not only a record, but he walks into any footy club with that smile and people love him. And that's what it should be. I mean, I have fond memories of him umpiring our games. He'd always come and have a crack at me afterwards for something stupid I did or for what I should have done that I didn't do. And that's what made our game in the old days a great game, and it's what should make it a great game now. Umpires should be able to walk in and do exactly what he does, smile and say, get over yourself. That's what we do, don't we?
I'd love to see him get to 1,000 games. It's taken him 6 years because of the two seasons abandoned to get from 800 to 900. I don't think it'll take him six to get to 1,000, but I'd love to see him keep on going. The Premier reporter this year is writing some very good stuff in the absence of Nick Armistead, and it's a big round coming up, round three in William Buck Premier. There is a chance that three sides can go to 3-0, which history suggests, Brian, means they're on their way to a grand final spot and a grand final victory. Those three teams are St. Kevin's, Old Brighton and Collegians. You'll love this. Is it too early to be going with potential premierships after round three?
Well, could you say something that's really, really stupid that you just said? There's three undefeated teams.
Yes.
So if those three undefeated teams all win, does that mean we're going to have three teams in the grand final, mate, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, this year's anomaly.
People need to understand what they're listening to here. They're listening to a man that has very limited intelligence.
Oh,
it is extremely difficult for me to have these discussions, knowing that the man is going to every week ask the most inane, stupid questions possible. But I'll tolerate it for the sake of our audience.
I'm going to start a new segment where the
stupidest thing I've had.
The stupidest questions people can ask Brian Waldron. They can start sending them through.
Don't do that. Yep. Don't do that because I'll get some abuse.
I'll filter them.
Having said that, let me say this. Two of the sides that you have mentioned, St. Kevin's and Old Brighton,
yes,
certainly watching the replay a little bit as I have of Old Brighton and Old Zabs.
Oh, cracking game.
They're tough, Old Brighton. So there's every chance, you know, given injuries aren't too bad, given what we know that one of those two, if not two, will be around the pointy end at the end of the year. So let's go through the games, Joey. What do you got from me? And by the way,
yes,
when you talk about the scribe, you're talking about yourself. It's okay. You can pump yourself up.
No.
Just say, I wrote it this week and I'm very pleased with what I did. Because there will be some weeks you do contribute. Having done a little bit of that work myself, we go, that was a load of crap what I just wrote there. Happens sometimes.
I'm very happy with some of the numbers I did put up, though, in this week's report.
Who's the first game?
Can read about at vaffa.com.au. Well, I want the first game to be Old Brighton and University Blues at the Brighton Beach Oval. We spoke to Hutch last week. They're going to be without Lockie Filipovic, which is a big loss for them in the ruck, but they do have those replacements in LeGrice standing there.
And not really a ruckman, are they, when Zabs are – well, we haven't –
And Petrus Olivier, Brian, the two of those served it up to Ed Delaney in round two, as you would have seen on the vision.
Well, they are playing against – is it Jewel Woodrow Medalist, Ace?
It is Ace.
He's won two. Brighton up against Ace. Oh, look, what's the weather going to be?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Not pouring rain, that's for sure.
I think down there, Brighton will get the chockies. I have to say that I haven't seen enough of Uni Blues, and I'll have a look this week at a bit more, but I was impressed with what I saw of Brighton.
Brighton for me as well in that game, Wally, but I will be fascinated to watch how they go about their business. We spoke to Kevin Sagoda just before. Collegians are taking on Old Scotch. He is officiating that game. I'm going to tip Collegians, but I'm told there might be a few out of the Collegians lineup going into this week, which may make it a little bit tougher. We spoke last week that Tom Ansell isn't playing for Old Scotch. He is on suspension. So he was probably going to be my tip to stand Dave Mirra. Looks like they're going to have to find someone else.
Collegians, you're saying they got some outs.
They got a couple of outs, yes, Collegians.
Well, this is one of these famous 8-point games.
Because
Collegians can win and go three and zip.
Yes.
Probably going to win another six. You know, that's all of their remaining 15 to play finals. So
is their first game at home
Scotch
too.
Scotch lose. The pressure's back on after their good win in round one, but they're 1-2 and the pressure comes on. But I think Collegians would probably win at home, and good on them for they staved off relegation through COVID. So it's a credit to them to be up and going again.
The TH King Oval will see St. Kevin's take on Caulfield. Now the Fields haven't won a game as yet, Brian. They started last season in the same fashion, whereas St. Kevin's are 2-0 under Plugger. Can they make it 3 in a row?
So who'd Caulfield play last week? Was that OMs?
Down to Melburnians, yes.
Well, Sats Tomlin at one end of the ground, the combined score was 1-20.
Yep. Yeah.
And they
that would be to the Glen Huntly Road end.
Yeah, but it wasn't that windy. So what's going on there? Anyway, those things happen. Caulfield really competitive round one against Collegians. Really not too sure whether they could have won last week. I think OMs thought they were fairly comfortable winners. St. Kevin's probably get the job done, don't they, you think? Up and
think
going and 42 coaches and good team, so they'll get there.
I think at home they get it done at TH King with Plugger.
Lucky there's not a soft cap at St. Kevin's, I can tell you.
A soft cap. You're right there.
Well, you know, that's that off-field coaching cap.
Are you president at St. Kevin's now?
Who's that?
Paddy Mount. You met Paddy yet?
No, but well done, Paddy. Congratulations.
We've told Paddy to start tuning in.
I say that people at St. Kevin's, no way I'm joking, but they are a great club, St. Kevin's, so good luck to them.
What about the people of Old Zabs? Do they know you're joking when you talk about points and soft caps? Does Cozzy know you're joking? Or does he think you're very serious? In fact, after 2 weeks ago, in the lead up to round two, I asked Cozzy about your relationship with his mother, Deirdre. And when
Deirdre
had to give him a couple of clips over the years lately, and he said, no, he's been a pretty good boy. He's been a pretty good boy.
Funny. Got a funny feeling because he's finally found someone he likes better than himself. So he's engaged. Now, people at Old Zabs will find that difficult to believe, but I'm pretty sure he has. I'm pretty sure he's about to take it down the marital aisle. So congratulations, Cozzy, that you've actually woken up. That's good. Love Cozzy. Great man. How are we doing, Old Zabs?
So they're playing old Melburnians. Now, there was a tweet on Twitter. That's where all the tweets go. Brighton weren't very pleased with the fact they were stuck in portables out at Toorak Park on round two. I can't remember who it was that tweeted it out. And Zabs opened up a double room for themselves going out there at the main oval. That's just part and parcel of the game, isn't it, Brian? You've got to make your opposition feel as uncomfortable as you want.
I'm not sure they would expect any less. and who was that? Brighton?
Well, they play Brighton, and Brighton got the points in the end, so it probably didn't matter.
Fair dinkum, Brighton. They want a reminder of the dunghole we go down to the rooms down there at their joint. You got to hose it out with a whatever to clean the joint out there. Please, pull up. Zabs can do whatever Zabs want when it comes to that. They're building a Taj Mahal. They need to just ease into it slowly. So I heard it's going to be that good that they're actually talking about playing games, AFL games here instead of Marvel. They're telling me that's the stadium they're building. So
Cozzy would love that.
Look, this is a fascinating game for the reason that I understand OMs are starting to get to full strength.
Yep.
Zav's a little bit hurt. So peeved with losing last week, they didn't even put their best players and goal kickers in. So they would have got fined for that. This is another really important game. And there's a little, just a little bit of extra salt poured on because the Sats going back to the place where some would say he wasn't really treated as well as you would expect. Yes. But that's just what some say. Others would say that Zavs are well in their right to do what they did because that's what they're about. So I love the bit of spice. I think it'll be a fascinating little game.
Is your mate
going
to win?
Worth going a long way to go. No, I think Zavs will win because it's Zavs. They're pretty good. But I think I wouldn't be surprised, would you?
Wouldn't be surprised. No, I wouldn't be surprised. They will bring Aaron Vandenberg back into their 22 Zavs, which just makes their midfield just a touch stronger. Stavrou up against Gus Borthwick, though, in the middle. You had to pay for tickets. It's worth the price of admission.
Their midfield's ridiculous, isn't it, Zab?
Stavrou will be in there. Corley Beetham will be in there. And probably Vandenberg will probably start. Charlie McIsaac. He'll be on the wing. He'll be on the wing.
Well, if he's not playing, the Bulldogs are a very good player. So
you're tipping Zabs, but you wouldn't be surprised if Melburnians win.
I think that's probably if it was at OMs, I don't know.
Yep.
I think we'll go Zabs and see how it goes.
Yep. Same for me. The last game is the big Anzac Day clash, or Anzac Weekend clash, rather, at the Snake Pit. St Bernard's will take
on Opportunity. What day is that on?
It is going to be on Saturday. No, that game is still going to be Saturday. They don't play on Anzac Day, but they do the ceremony in the pregame. So do Collegians and Old Scotch for people going out to that game. It is a radio game as well. Both sides without a win. Both sides very young. I think, Brian, Paul Groves was going to miss this game. He was a close contact this week, but the restrictions have eased, so he may be on the bench by Saturday afternoon. I think he's free and released on Friday. Otherwise, Bernie Dineen was going to be coaching against his old side. I'm tipping St Bernard's because it's at home.
Just got a funny feeling the hoses might be out on the ground out there at the Snake Pit.
Has it rained enough in Essendon?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's 4-2 in the mud out there and the boys at Old Trinity get out there and say, what the? Because it's a big game for Grozier to win this one. If they lose this one playing Trinity at home, it's going to be difficult. So they need to win this one. So you'd probably think the Bernese boys will get there. If not, I assume the regular core will go out to Adam Bentick to come out of retirement and play again.
Yep. There's every chance they will give Adam a ring and just say, what are you up to on Saturday?
What do they do? On the hill out there, what do? They just put the flag up on the – what kind of flag goes up when Adam's just sitting at home, he looks out these bubbles and he goes, oh, here I go.
When we need Adam, it's just a white one.
The white flag goes up and goes, oh, I'm coming. I'm coming.
He just lives at the bottom of the hill.
That's all they need to do. Maybe they just get the old – Yeah, all right. His wife goes, what? Again? He's a star, isn't he? Hasn't he been a star? Who can forget that wonderful night when we had the best of the Woodrow Medal and they mixed up the votes? That'll go down in folklore and amateur history, that one.
Oh, and McIntyre, one of the great threes players at St Bernard's, gets himself three votes in the William Buck Premier Camp.
One of the great. We're getting Bendick on one day to talk about that. I remember that night.
We should get Adam on. He'd love to have a chat with us. He tries to avoid media as he can.
Great player. He's been a great amateur player too.
Hey, before we go, you're playing Bo Morris out at Banksia Reserve in
Premier
B. It'll
be a good game. I expect it to be a close one. They're 2-0 and we haven't won, so I think we're looking a little bit better, hopefully. But I won't be there. My mother turns 90
Fantastic.
Saturday, so happy birthday to Peg. So we won't be listening, but those who know my mum, and if you do, mother of seven and putting up with me. And
mother of seven? Goodness me.
So
what number in the seven are you?
Everyone, number six. First boy.
Oh, boy.
Don't know
five older sisters. Goodness me.
My mother was a mistake, I'm sure, Pete. You should have been happy with me. I don't know what happened, but anyway, she kept going. So no, it's great. We're all close and we've got a great family. We're lucky.
Congratulations. Oh, there you go. It's happy birthday to your dear mum. There is a big game in Premier B. St Bede's are coming off a win. They're playing Uni Blacks this week. And there is a Monday game in Premier B. Fitzroy are taking on Williamstown at Brunswick Street Oval on Anzac Day. if people do want to watch some local footy, they can go out to Brunswick Street Oval, or it is going to be on the VAFA live stream, that game. Fitzroy up against Williamstown. That is a big addition of For the Love of the Game and a big weekend coming up, Brian. You enjoy your mother's 90th birthday. That is a fantastic achievement.
Well, I will. Thanks, Joey. I'll tell you. You just keep battling away on that app that you got there. Just don't swipe the wrong way or get on the wrong one. And
I'll be at the home of footy this weekend, the Snake Pit, to watch the mighty Suburbanites go about their business. There might be a couple out there that way, Brian. We never know. We never know. Sunday.
Good luck to everyone this weekend.
I might see you at Elsterwick on Sunday. There's $100 going for anyone who clipped New Armistead. They're playing Box Hill at Elsterwick Park. We'll be back next week on For the Love of the Game. All thanks to Mecca Care to do it all again.